Happy New Year, January 3rd, and it is time to go outdoors. Steve Kearney joins us. Steve, hope you had a good holiday. Happy New Year to you.
Hey, same to you, Steve. Yeah, it was very quiet, and fishing has been pretty good. And yeah, we got some amazing conditions out there. We got good ice, 13, 14 inches of ice. But, you know, what's going on is people are traveling all over the lakes. And it's, you know, been kind of tough to find a spot away from the crowds.
Whoa.
Because people can pretty much drive everywhere. And that's kind of what's going on right now. You know, ice travel is good. Big wheelhouses are coming out. And, yeah, people are out in force for sure.
Yeah, it is amazing. I've seen a lot of the trucks hauling the hard houses, those really fancy units. And it's like, I have never really felt comfortable being in a big rig like that out on the ice. I just, that is not for me. A portable, on foot, maybe a snowmobile. Years ago, we did a lot of snowmobiling up north. I'm comfortable with that, but with these big rigs and those big, heavy houses, that is not for me. Nope.
Yeah, you know, it's just, you know, the access on the lakes now is so good that, you know, yeah. I was on the spot 4 or 5 days ago, and I went out there this morning, and there was probably 25 wheelhouses on my spot, Ooh. And that's because people can, you know, drive anywhere they want to go. So I had to move to a secondary spot, and fishing was okay. But, you know, the key is to get away from this activity. You know, when you get on these community areas and the wheelhouses start coming in, there's people coming and going, generators are going, and it's very noisy and disruptive. So you really need to get to the outside of those areas or find a new area away from the crowds. But, you know, Steve, this could change. If we get, you know, 4, 5, 6 inches of snow, then they won't be able to, you know, move around and be as mobile as they are right now. But, you know, overall, you know, you can't complain. The conditions are great. People can drive all over the place. And, you know, compared to the last couple of years, it's really a very good season, you know, right now.
Yeah, and people certainly love it. We've talked often about the growth of the sport. Steve, as we get into January, and typically the coldest days of the year, it looks like it's going to be a real mild week all around the area this week. Not to the point where it's going to put ice conditions in danger, but it is going to be a very mild week. What's that going to do to the bite?
I think it's going to be really good, Steve. Okay. I've been watching this too, and you know, it looks like we have, you know, very stable weather starting on Monday all the way through the whole week. And you know what that means. When you have stable weather for a series of days, the bite's just going to get better and better. And I'm going to be down in the Big Stone Traverse area checking out some of those spots down there because it just looks perfect. There's not a lot of high wind, not a lot of fronts coming in. And that's what's been going on, you know, in the North Country the last couple of weeks. We've had a front after front after front coming in, which has really been disrupting the fishing. It's like they're there one day, they're gone the next day because that wind keeps switching from the south to the northwest, and you really don't want that. You want some sort of stability, and it looks like this next week is the first stable week we've had in a long time. So fishing is going to be absolutely on fire, I think, all week. Really looking forward to that.
Yeah, and one thing we do know with all that activity and all the people out and about on the ice, we've got to remind people, no ice is 100% safe. You know, you still got to mind your P's and Q's out there because those ice conditions can change as well.
Yeah, you know, I don't really recommend anybody going out into main lake areas, you know, 2 or 3 miles out. I just don't think that's real smart. You just don't know what's going on. And sometimes when we get these warm spells, you can get cracks and you can get heaves that show up almost overnight. So you really got to be careful. And we have enough snow cover right now, which has really helped the bite. You know, it's eliminated a lot of that sunlight going down, and, you know, it's much more darker down there than it was before. And with that snow cover, you don't really, you know, see what's ahead of you. And it's, you know, it's covered with snow. It's not, you know, a lot of snow, but it's enough where there's some things you could hit that you won't see. So I'm probably going to switch to a snowmobile here in the next week and just play it safe. And I just don't like driving on the ice with a vehicle. I just don't. I never have. But, you know, it's certainly doable on most lakes. But, you know, if you can do a snowmobile or an ATV or a side-by-side, you're much safer and you're actually quite a bit more mobile.
Yeah, I've watched those episodes. I don't know about you. Seen probably every episode of the series a couple of times, and that is the Ice Road Truckers up in Canada. I don't know how those guys do that. Whoa.
Well,
the big rigs taking... with the big loads on the frozen lakes, that's nuts.
You know, Steve, I remember back in the day when I would end up on Lake Mille Lacs in, you know, in the dark at midnight trying to get back and there's no snow. And it's pretty scary being out there in the dark and there's no roads, it's glare ice, and you don't want to put yourself in that situation. So, again, it's all about common sense. I'm much smarter now because I'm older. Like you.
Well, hey, when I was a kid, we'd take a spin out on the lake. It was a lot of fun. Probably not the smartest thing I ever did, but those days are long gone. We'll leave it at that. Steve, where are you going to be in the coming week? It sounds like mild, stable. The bite should be really good. I'm sure you're going to be out there early, and you're going to be out there often.
Yep, it's going to be a good week, Steve. I'm going to be down in Big Stone Traverse and working some of those areas down there. And I'm not sure I told you this, but I got a call on Christmas Eve that I've been elected to the Minnesota Hall of Fame for fishing, and I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah. All right. Steve, Happy New Year. Good to visit with you as always. We'll do it again next week.
All right. Sounds great. Take care, man.
There he is, Steve Kearney. Steve Kearney Outdoors each and every Saturday. Sports schedules permitting, we settle into this time slot right out of the news and weather at 4, but once we get into the baseball season again, and hard to believe we're kind of already in the countdown to pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training down in Fort Myers. It's amazing how much it turns. Here it is, January. Twins Winter Caravan, Twins Fest, the end of the month. It is 4:13 here at News Talk, 830-WCCO. Big sports day in Florida, in rainy Tampa. The Bucks lead the Panthers 10-6 at the moment, soon to be 10-7, extra point pending. And that is winner take all in the sorry NFC South. Once again, just a quick sidebar on the NFL playoffs for just a teeny tiny moment. You have to, not just because you won a weak division, get a home game on wild card weekend. That is preposterous. Speaking of Florida, the Timberwolves lead the Heat 13-7. In Miami, midway through quarter number one. So another matinee for the Timberwolves on the trip in D.C. against the Wizards late Sunday afternoon before returning home to take on the same Heat at Target Center on Tuesday night. And we will see what Timberwolves team ultimately shows up today. And the maturity of this Timberwolves team led by Anthony Edwards. There's a lot going on there with this Timberwolves club. All right, let's get to the Wild. And they continue to play extremely well. They were able to get the Sharks to OT before falling to San Jose. And for whatever reason, the San Jose Sharks have been kryptonite for this Wild club early in the season. They bounce back. They beat the Ducks in Anaheim last night comfortably. Jez Myers is in Southern California, and he covers the team for the Pioneer Press. Jez, Happy New Year. Good to visit with you.
How you doing, Steve? I'm sitting on my balcony at a hotel in Los Angeles, and it's pouring rain, believe it or not. I mean, this is very odd, and I'm dreading that trip downtown for the game because You know how, like, the first snow, nobody in Minnesota knows how to drive?
Yeah.
That's what it's like every time it rains here, because they see rain so rarely and the traffic is so bad already that this is going to be a slog, let's just say.
So where do you stay when you visit L.A.?
I usually just stay right out by LAX airport.
Oh, sure.
And it's going to be a good 45-minute drive to Orange County, you know, no matter what you do. Which was yesterday, and then, you know, it's maybe, you know, under ideal conditions, it's maybe 25 minutes from downtown Los Angeles, which is where the Kings play. But with LA traffic, you just never know what it's going to be like.
Yeah, I remember a trip to LA. We took my youngest daughter was looking at schools and visited USC and UCLA and that sort of thing. She ended up at Arizona down in Tucson, and she was capable of getting into UCLA. I love the campus there. You got Beverly Hills and Brentwood and Westwood. I mean, it's just a really cool area, LA. Beautiful campus, Pauley Pavilion, all this other stuff. I said, yeah, it's a little hilly. I'm like, yeah, okay.
I'll say this, Steve. Yesterday, you know, the Wild had their morning skate in Anaheim.
Sure.
And then I had a good 5 hours to kill maybe before the game. So I went down, you know, Laguna Beach and that area just along the coast, which is just, let's be honest, it's a stunningly, stunningly beautiful part.
I love LA. I do.
Yeah.
I really
And I had, I ran into a friend of mine who used to work for the Ducks. He was, you know, in their front office. And I just said this. I said, if you ever lost a free agent who didn't like living here, you should just be fired. Because who would not want to live in a place like this making a lot of money?
Oh, well, and that's the key. And when we've been to L.A., we stay in Santa Monica. If I could afford it, I like Santa Monica. And the pier is kind of a tourist trap. But, oh, the beach, the views, it's really cool.
Absolutely.
It's great. To the business at hand in the Wild, we go back to this trip. So far is so good, but can you help explain what it is about the San Jose Sharks and the hold they have over the Wild so far this year?
As I wrote in my story, you know, if you look at the odds right now, it's less than 50% that the Sharks will make the playoffs, which is really good news for the Minnesota Wild because they do not want to see this team again. For whatever reason, the Sharks have got their number, and it's no big secret. Macklin Celebrini is one of the true up-and-coming superstars in this league. You know, he won the Hobey Baker Award at Boston University his 1 year there. And by the way, speaking of him torching Minnesota, he ended the Gophers season 2 years ago in the NCAA playoffs. So it's not like he just has it in for the Wild. He also has it in for the college team as well. He's really, really good. And, you know, I don't know if it's the Wild taking their foot off the gas or what, but, yeah, they played the Sharks three times this year. They lost all three in either overtime and a shootout. So when they left San Jose, I think they were pretty glad to say, yeah, done with them. That's enough of that. Enough of those goofy teal helmets and all that stuff.
Yeah, Celebrini, 19 years old, doing what he's doing in the NHL. That is extraordinary. What a talent this kid is.
And, you know, I don't know if people saw this, but in the Pioneer Press a couple days ago, I wrote a piece about the San Jose Sharks. And, you know, folks might not remember, but the Sharks were born out of the North Stars, essentially.
That's right.
The owners of the North Stars, the Gunn brothers, late 80s, remember, you know, the crowds weren't great at Met Center, and they all of a sudden got excited about the idea of having a team in the Bay Area. They worked out this weird deal with the NHL where they were allowed to not only start a new team, get an expansion team that wound up becoming the San Jose Sharks, but they were allowed this weird dispersal draft where they were able to take 24 either North Stars players or prospects from the North Stars with them to kind of serve as the basis of the new team in San Jose. And it was interesting. I don't know if you remember Brian Hayward. He was the backup goalie to John Casey when the North Stars made that run to the Stanley Cup final in 1991. He's a broadcaster for Anaheim now. I talked to him about it last night. Officially, the dispersal draft was held just a couple days after the Stanley Cup final was over in 1991. But he said, we knew about it months in advance. You know, he said, I knew I was going to wind up going to San Jose as soon as the North Stars were done. Just a weird situation. But, you know, in the end, it probably worked out the best for both markets because San Jose has been, you know, a successful market. The Bay Area took to hockey right away. And after all of the trauma of losing the North Stars, Minnesota got a new team, got a new building in St. Paul, and, you know, a first-class organization in the Wild. So, you know, in the long run, after some rocky times, it seems to have turned out about as well as it could have.
Yeah, they've got a young superstar. So the Wild head to the Bay Area. They get the Ducks and handle the Ducks comfortably 5-2 last night. And the new guy, a record-setting Wild performance, 4 assists.
Yes, never been done before by a defenseman. Never had 4 assists in a game. There was a 4-point game by a defenseman. You know, back in their history, Matt Dumba had a goal and 3 assists once.
Oh, sure.
But never 4 assists for a defenseman in a game. So yeah, that was fun to see. And you know, he said, talking to Quinn Hughes afterwards, and I wrote about this a little bit. You know, when he got here, he said, "Be patient. It's going to take a while to get on the same page." You know, all of that. Well, seems like he's getting on the same page with these guys now. You know, he's getting pucks to the net. He's looking for guys. He's looking for sticks. He set up Danila Yurov for a pair of goals last night. So, you know, and what I found interesting, too, about last night's game, Steve, you look at the first 4 goals they scored were all Russian guys. You know, Danila Yurov kind of joked about that. Tarasenko was the only guy that didn't get a goal for them among the Russians last night. And I'll say this, Steve. Yesterday had to be a tough day if you're one of the Russian players for the simple fact that, you know, they're still on the outside looking in on the Olympics because of political factors and the war and all that stuff going on. They had to watch, you know, the Swedes get named to their Olympic teams and the Americans and all that, and the Russians are still on the outside looking in. That's got to be hard for them, even though, you know, they don't like to talk about it. They don't want to get into politics, all of that. That had to be maybe a little bit of inspiration for those players last night.
Yeah, and probably a good idea for them to stay out of politics. I would
Absolutely.
Assume staying off Putin's radar is probably a good thing for those guys. The game tonight, and then again Monday with the LA Kings, and this is a team that's just outside. If the playoffs started today, and we know they don't, they would be on the outside looking in, but they're on the edge, and they could ultimately be a factor.
Yeah, and this Kings team has been a disappointment. Let's be honest. People had higher hopes for what they could do this year under Jim Hiller. There are a lot of calls for Jim Hiller's head as he's, you know, been their coach now for a year or two. And I'll be straight up, Steve. I think if the Wild win tonight, we might see a different coach of the Kings on Monday when they play the sixth game of this kind of back-to-back series. Just because, again, they've invested a lot in this team and haven't really seen the results yet. You know, and let's face it, that trade a couple years ago where Kevin Fiala went to the Kings and in return the Wild got the rights to Brock Faber, looking like a real good move for Bill Guerin at this point.
Yeah, and that is Wild because you look at the Kings right now, 2 points out of the final wild card, ironically held by the San Jose Sharks. The Seattle Kraken also have 43 points, who the Wild will close out the trip with later this week before returning home to St. Paul. They're only 5 points out of the Pacific Division lead held by the Oilers, who started very slow this year. So, I mean, they're buried.
Here's what you need to know about the Western Division, their Western Conference this year. You've got 3 really good teams in Colorado, Minnesota, and Dallas. And then you've got a bunch of, you know, mediocrity after that. Somebody pointed out to me today, St. Louis, after a slow start, is something like a couple points out of a playoff spot right now, and they're also a couple points out of being last place in the conference. Yeah. So that tells you all you need to know about the West right now. And, you know, we're past the midway point of the season now, so we can start talking about the playoffs, right, a little bit. If the playoffs started today, you're going to have Minnesota playing Dallas in the first round, which is just crazy to me in that you've got 3 really good teams in the conference, and, you know, one of them at least is going to be gone after round 1.
Yeah, I brought it up before we went on the air about the NFL playoff format. You got this winner-take-all Tampa Bay-Carolina game in the rain in Tampa today. By the way, the Bucs still lead at 10-7 late in quarter number two. One of these teams is going to get a home game wild card weekend, and you've got the NHL situation. It absolutely makes no sense. It should go back to the old days, seed at 1 through 8, 1 gets 8, 2, 7, etc. Having Colorado, Dallas, and Minnesota set up to beat up on each other in the first two rounds makes no sense. But
I remember a team not too long ago, I remember a team winning 14 games and having to go on the road for a playoff game. Oh, wait, that was the Vikings last year. So, yeah, don't get me started on the way the playoffs are structured.
All right, Jess, real quick before we let you go, a lot of the Minnesota Wild players will be represented in the Olympic Games, and that's got to be exciting. Obviously, Bill Guerin's ties to Team USA play a factor in part of that, but nevertheless, a lot of Olympians on that Wild club.
We saw the good and the bad yesterday, too. It was really neat to see Jesper Wallstedt, the rookie goalie for the Wild. He's going to the Olympics for the first time. Obviously, a very exciting thing for him. You know, the Wild are basically sending their goalie tandem there because Filip Gustafsson is going to be one of the other Swedish goalies there as well. So, super happy for him. Fun and exciting to talk to him. On the flip side of that, Marcus Johansson has done everything he can possibly do to make Team Sweden. 35 years old, you know, very likely this would be the last time he would go to an Olympics and represent his country, which he has done once already, off to an unbelievable start. He got the call right before they played Vegas a couple days ago that he did not make the team. And talking to him yesterday, he was hugely disappointed. You know, he feels like, you know, everything he could have done, he has done on the ice and all of that. And unless there's an injury, he won't be headed over there for Team Sweden. So disappointed for Johansson because he's a great player and a great person, and I think he deserves to be there.
Yeah, and where would the Wild be without him? In reality, he has had a huge hand in all of this. We've talked so much about, you know, the goaltending, Hughes joining the team, Kaprizov, some of the others, but he's been a big, big part of the Wild at this point.
For a guy who's playing on a bargain contract, too, remember, he signed a one-year deal worth $800,000. Now, to you and me, $800,000 is a huge amount of money. By NHL circles, that's basically minimum wage. So he's doing some great stuff and kind of putting all the other stuff aside, and good for him.
All right, Jess, safe travels to downtown L.A. for the game tonight. Thanks for the time, and once again, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Steve. Always great to talk hockey.
There he is, Jess Myers, covers the club for the Pioneer Press, online at TwinCities.com, joins us from L.A. They play the Kings later. They'll do it again on Monday night, and then they close out the trip. They will be in Seattle to play the Kraken on Thursday. They get the Islanders here next Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Once again, Jess joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We'll have the weather momentarily. Then Chris Peters, he works for Flow Hockey. Chris has covered amateur hockey, college prospects, the minor leagues. He's been all over at the World Juniors here in town. And we'll get his thoughts. Team USA falls to Finland last night. In a moment, here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. World Juniors continue here in the Twin Cities, and major disappointment. Team USA is out. They got bumped off by Finland last night, 4-3 in overtime. And the United States, they're out. And the medal round continues with two games tomorrow. And a guy who's been covering the event, Chris Peters, talked to Chris over the years. Chris follows the game very closely, the college game, the amateur game, been to a ton of Frozen Fours, etc. And he is covers the game for Flow Hockey. Chris, always good to visit with you, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, Steve, glad to be talking to you, and certainly you know, a bit of a buzzkill for the U.S. to not be playing in this tournament anymore. But in the end, it's been a good World Juniors here in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, and look, let's talk about that. You've covered this game for a long time, been to a lot of events. How the Twin Cities done hosting the World Juniors?
Well, you know, I think that always from an event standpoint, you know, the things that have been here, hockey events, they're so well practiced at it. You know, they run very well. I'd say probably a bit disappointing on the overall ticket sales elements. You know, the U.S. quarterfinal game actually ended up being the lowest attended U.S. game of the tournament, which didn't necessarily help matters in terms of home ice advantage. But it wasn't, you know, it's still, you have to remember, it's, you know, junior hockey, even if it is the best of the best. And, you know, I think one thing Bob Motzko had said last night, Team USA's coach, that, you know, hey, part of having the tournament to get people in the state of hockey to, you know, kind of understand what the World Juniors is, how high a level that you have to play at to be here. And really outside of the NHL, it's about as close as you can get to that level of hockey. So certainly the quality of hockey has been very strong. You know, but again, yeah, I think we're still obviously working towards more visibility and notoriety of this tournament in the United States, because it is it's a national holiday practically in Canada every game day. And, you know, obviously we got a ways to go to get it to that point in the U.S.
You know, and Chris, you make a really good point. I mean, you consider what TSN is doing around this event and the coverage and the people in town, particularly at 3M Arena at Mariucci, where Canada played pool play. It was really something to see what they put on, and that explains what a big deal is. My sense is this: games available here in the States on NHL Network, not available in every household. That maybe there could have been more availability on the television side, but that's just
me. Yeah. Well, you know, to your point, I mean, I think there's a couple of factors there, and you know, one thing I will say is, you know, NHL Network was the first place that really decided that they wanted to make, you know, make the World Juniors accessible on television. Now the landscape for how we view TV and how everybody has cable and everything else has changed. And the fact that, you know, NHL Network is not on the major streaming services like YouTube TV or Hulu, that makes it really, you know, really difficult in this age of cord cutting and everything else. And so while it was such a significant part of NHL Network being a significant part of growing the tournament, you know, I think definitely now we're kind of getting to an accessibility issue, and some of the momentum that was gained from the medals over the years past has certainly been lost.
Yeah, and Chris, I know you did a story on the 4-3 loss to Finland last night in overtime. Certainly the Finns are, you know, one of the top programs in the World Juniors year in and year out. You look at the Swedes, the Canadians, the Americans. So there's really no shame in losing to Finland. But the United States showed that, you know, maybe this wasn't their tournament, that there was injuries, maybe not the greatest goaltending. There were a lot of factors that played into this early tournament exit for the two-time defending champs.
Yeah, you know, and it's tough, Steve, right? Because it's you know, you're judged against prior years.
Sure.
And you're not using the same players, you know, right? You know, and like which makes it a little bit different than, you know, what we see in college and what we see in, you know, our normal teams. And so you're dealing with kind of whatever the birth year gives you in terms of the age group. And that's kind of what we saw here. And this, you know, USA's last two gold medals, they were the best team on paper and in the actual performance of the tournament. This year, it was pretty clear that USA might have been no better than fourth or fifth even. And sure enough, that's where, you know, they're going to finish outside of the top four in this year's tournament. And that's going to happen from time to time. I think they probably, you know, the standard that has been set by USA Hockey is so much higher, where a quarterfinal exit feels unacceptable, which is a good place to be. I think that's where you want to be as a country, where this is a major disappointment, because I've been covering this tournament long enough when it wasn't as disappointing as this one seemed to feel.
Yeah. You look at the teams remaining, and coming up, Canada, by the way, beat Slovakia 7-1 in another game, and now coming up on Sunday, Sweden against Finland, and then the nightcap, Canada plays Czechia in that one. Give us your read on the remaining four teams. Are the top two Sweden and Canada? What's your read on the final four here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a very good tournament, you know, in terms of what's remaining. You know, I think that the Sweden-Finland matchup is going to be fascinating. I would agree that, you know, Sweden and Canada have been the best two teams here. Sweden has probably been the most consistent thus far, but Canada is seemingly peaking at the right time. So they've gotten progressively better as the tournament has gone on. They had a couple of their first two games were actually a little bit uneven, and you know, they had a real good chance to lose either or both of those games. So, you know, that was interesting to watch. But the Czech team is really fascinating too. They've got to play Canada again. They did lose to them 7-5 in the first game, but I will tell you that, you know, their top four defense is probably as good as any in this tournament. Their top six forwards are really, really strong. They have size. They're physical. They're tough to play against. So that's going to be fascinating too. But yeah, I mean, basically, if you want to still see great hockey, these semifinals are going to provide some really compelling, competitive hockey. And I think that both Canada's game against Czechia and the Finland-Sweden rivalry matchup are going to create some great theater and some great moments in this tournament's history. Both are rematches from last year. Czechia knocked out Canada in the quarterfinals last year, and Finland beat Sweden in the semifinals last year. So this is going to be a very, very compelling Final Four of this tournament.
Yeah, one of the other things you wrote, Chris, and it kind of stood out that, you know, even going into next year, that maybe the numbers or the talent pool isn't particularly strong for the United States. So maybe Team USA, when it comes to the World Juniors, in a bit of a downswing right now. What's your read on that going forward?
Yeah, it is. You know, I'd say, you know, you kind of just look at some of the evidence that we've seen so far. It doesn't mean that they can't win, but it does mean that they are down, you know, from what we had seen. Obviously, winning back-to-back gold medals for the first time in this tournament's history was a big deal for Team USA. But now you're dealing with some lower-than-average talent pools. And you see the evidence in the Under-18 World Championship, which USA hasn't won for a couple of years now. You see it in the NHL draft numbers. They're not going to have as many first-round prospects. So that's also a big indicator. Was like, hey, you know, that the talent pool is dropping a little bit here. And so, you know, they're going to have to replace all of their best players from this year's team, you know, which is really difficult to do in any year. But, you know, I think they'll have something around six returning players for next year's team. And really, you know, some of the best players were forwards and you know, losing Cole Hutson, who's the all-time leading scorer, scoring defenseman. There's nothing in the pipeline that would suggest that they have somebody to replace that kind of firepower. So next year in Edmonton and Red Deer very well could be a challenging tournament for Team USA. But still, you know, you never know until the puck drops and you play the games. But yeah, it's definitely not looking as strong as we've seen in the last few years.
Well, Chris, you've been a great follow. I've learned a lot. You've done a phenomenal job covering the tournament here in the Twin Cities. The one thing we can say is that the Twin Cities has delivered on the weather. It is definitely winter. It is definitely hockey weather here. You know, you'll see that in Edmonton and Red Deer next year, but none of the teams felt cheated. There's real winter here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah, I drove in. I know I drove in, and it was kind of warm. I was wearing a sweatshirt. And then the next day I was like, wow, I can't feel my toes anymore. So, yeah. So, yes, thank you. Thank you, Twin Cities, for bringing the chill. Definitely needed it.
Well, and when the Winter Classic, the NHL's Winter Classic, was at Target Field, I don't think it got above zero that day at Target Field. So the big hockey events, we certainly deliver the appropriate weather. Chris, always great. Keep up the good work and enjoy the semifinals tomorrow.
Will do. Thanks so much, Steve. Thanks for having me.
All right. There he is, Chris Peters, Flow of Hockey. He's been covering the game for a long, long time at the amateur level. And once again, Canada and Czechia. The late game tomorrow night, that'll be 7:30. The 3:30 game, Sweden against Finland, that should just be a dandy. Once again, at Grand Casino Arena in St. Paul. And then the bronze medal game and the gold medal game coming up on Monday. So you're up to date on what's going on with World Juniors. Team USA once again out. They lose a heartbreaker 4-3 in overtime last night. They got that tying goal late and then gave up a goal in OT. We'll take a break. We'll come back. D3 football championship game Sunday in Canton, Ohio, the Stag Bowl. It'll be UW River Falls against North Central of Illinois. We'll get into that with Pat Coleman in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. All the news, all the weather at 5 o'clock. We'll get an update on the Minnesota Frost. They played Ottawa today and got beat. Heather Rule will join us at about 5:20. We'll talk Vikings. Timberwolves update, they had a matinee. By the way, a football game at the half in rainy Tampa. Bucks lead the Panthers 13-7, winner take all in that one in the NFC South. And big final weekend. Vikes pack playing out the string. Green Bay not expected to start really anybody. It'll be a lot of second stringers because they're locked into the seventh seed. Looks like J.J. McCarthy will play tomorrow at high noon. Big game in Canton, Ohio. The D3 championship tomorrow. It'll be the Stag Bowl. And UW River Falls takes on North Central of Illinois. Pat Coleman joins us from D3Football.com. Here we go, Pat. The title game at hand tomorrow night.
Here we go, indeed. It's been a great run for, you know, local fans and the folks at UW River Falls. I have seen so many River Falls people here in town over the course of the last 24 hours or so, and my understanding is that there are even more on the way, so looking forward to a fantastic championship game.
Yeah, it really is a great story in this UW River Falls in a very difficult league. And I visited with their coach the other night, sitting in for Henry Lake. And you think about that league, obviously the deepest in D3 football, the WIAC. And for them to win that league and then get on the run in the playoffs, I mean, week in and week out, there's a lot of good teams in the WIAC.
Yeah, there really are. You know, frankly, Steve, one of the things we think about at the beginning of the season is anybody who's a contender to be the champion of the WIAC is also a contender to be, you know, here at this level at the national championship game. So we looked back at our preseason predictions the other day, and three of us had River Falls playing in the national semifinals, all on the strength of the fact that we thought they were going to be the best team in that league. And, you know, they've lived up to that. And so far just a little bit more.
Yeah. And, by the way, a big award for their quarterback, Caleb Blaha. Congrats to him, and what a terrific year.
A great year for him, really a kind of a one of those maybe once-in-a-generation years. He's set records for total offense because he's, you know, a great passer, a great downfield passer, and he's also their leading rusher. Wins the Gagliardi Trophy, named after John Gagliardi, awarded by the J Club at St. John's. That is the Heisman Trophy equivalent. And, you know, they do this on offense with a bunch of Minnesota kids, right? Blake Rohr, who's one of their top wide receivers, he's from Woodbury. You know, there's so many Minnesota kids. And, of course, Blaha played at Fridley High School. You know, they've got Steven Reifensberger, one of their top receivers, is from Hastings. They've got guys up front on the offensive line from Minnesota as well. You know, obviously River Falls is just across the border, right? They've always drawn a bunch of Minnesota kids, not just for sports, but in everything. And, you know, it's a great story that I'm glad that we've been able to kind of talk about this and chronicle this over the past several weeks on the air.
Yeah. Pat Coleman joining us, D3Football.com. John Schuster, Coldwell Banker Hotline. We've only got about a minute, but they face a very tall order in North Central of Illinois. They're the new power at Mount Union, Whitewater. You think of all these schools that have dominated, but right now North Central of Illinois, they're the big guy on the block.
They are. They've won three of the last five titles. They're playing in the championship game for the sixth consecutive time. What they're going to have to watch out for is that front four. They've got a bunch of talented guys up front. And Caleb Blaha, they talk about, can he buy the one extra second with his mobility to then let somebody spring open and find a great pass downfield? That's going to be the key.
Yeah, and hopefully it's a good one tomorrow night. Pat, always appreciate your insight. Once again, River Falls against North Central, D3 championship game. Tomorrow night, and I know full coverage at D3Football.com.
That's right. Thanks, Steve. It's been great being on with you this season.
Yeah, there he is. Once again, Pat Coleman, a regular contributor here on News Talk 830 WCCO. We have all the news and weather coming up at 5. We'll talk Timberwolves, we'll talk Vikings, and so much more here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Weather-wise, quiet now, cloudy and 20 tomorrow. There is a chance of freezing rain and a wintry mix. Be aware of that.